Waspia and Donna, welcome to Vermont Edition. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Jane. Great to be here.
Waspia, I'd love to ask you a couple of questions first. You have summited 5 now out of the 7 highest. Ooh, Donna's pointing at 6. It's turned to 6 now?
Yes.
So what's the one that you... So let me just say, you had summited 5 of the 7 highest peaks, the highest peak on each continent, but you just hit a 6th, so...
Yes, this past summer, Denali, which was my 3rd attempt, and the toughest one of the 7 probably, so I'm... finally managed to get on the summit with good weather, and it was totally worth it.
So, yeah, that Denali, I knew you had tried that at least once before. You'd tried twice before?
Yes.
And the problems both times were weather-related?
No. One time was weather. The first time I went, I got food poisoning at Camp 14, and then on the 3rd day, didn't get any better, and I was losing a lot of liquid, so I decided to go off because I was still already at 14,000 and I needed to get myself down safely. So I got down and then went back in 3 weeks again. Within 3 weeks, I got my stomach pumped.
Oh.
And then we got the second time, we got stuck on the last camp before summit, which is at 17,000, and then we were stuck in a storm for a long time, and then our food finished. And when your body's not getting enough food, it doesn't have enough heat generating. So I got frostbitten on the way down and then stuck in the States for another 1.5 months of three surgeries and, you know, hospitalization.
And this was your finger that got frostbite, but you were able to keep your finger.
Yes.
Luckily. Well, given that, you know, you run the risk of frostbite, you have food poisoning on the mountain and still have to get yourself down. And that's just Denali. I mean, you've climbed Everest. You've, as now we've noticed, 6 of the highest peaks on each continent. I should also ask you about your final climb. So the last climb you have to do, is that the one in Indonesia?
In Papua.
In Papua New Guinea.
Indonesia occupied Papua, so it's technically...
So there's some political issues there.
So I've organized the climb thrice now, and because of political reason, I haven't been able to get access to it. You need a clearance from the Indonesian army as well as the local tribes. And there's a bow and arrow style tribal war going on when I last attempted to go. And so I decided to postpone, and... now it's looking like end of November, December.
Of this year.
Yeah, but let's see. I mean, the war hasn't stopped, so I would rather make it very safe. I'd rather die in the mountain than by local people.
That's one way to put it. What motivates you to do these treks?
Well, the motivation was to celebrate how far women have come, and I wanted to really, because they're really the strength of whatever I have become today, and their struggle and the resiliency they show at the face of such struggles is just amazing and the biggest lesson I've gotten. But whenever I get stuck, and because I'm doing these for a campaign, and whenever I hit a wall, I notice myself that I keep thinking and reflecting on their struggle, and I think that if I don't continue, I'm going to fail those people. But if I was doing it for myself, I would have probably just not be as motivated.
When you talk about what women have been able to accomplish, do you mean specifically in Bangladesh or around the world?
Well, definitely around the world, but starting from home first. And I grew up in Bangladesh, and just given that it's a very predominantly Muslim society and very patriarchal, you know, I work with, for my nonprofit career, I've been very lucky to work in the grassroots level. I don't mean the politicians in power. I'm talking about very like simple women on the ground, and they're always on the forefront of every movement. And you hear of Bangladesh all over the news for floods and all kinds of news, but you never hear about these stories. And I thought that that's something that should be an example to the world.
So how does summiting these high peaks help raise awareness about what women are going through and what challenges they have in Bangladesh?
So during and before and after the climbs and during the climbs, we have a lot of advocacy level work that happens. And even before the campaign was launched, where we highlighted a lot of the women. And so we've been trying to connect the whole struggle of climbing uphill with stories from whether they're success stories or struggle that women are going through at home. And so I think it was the best, in my mind, it was the best analogy that could have worked.
Donna, you are Wasfia's mentor in the Global Sports Mentoring Program, which is through the Department of State and ESPNW. So what are you doing with Wasfia as her mentor?
Yeah, I think I'm learning more from Wasfia than she's learning from me, that's for sure. You know, but the idea is that, the original idea behind the mentorship program was to pair emerging women leaders who are doing amazing things in their country in terms of women and sports. Because it's really, you know, first of all, it's proven the world is a better place with more women leaders. Companies, very well researched that, you know, companies with more diverse leadership are more profitable and better run. And we all know what, you know, the opportunities through sports that women have had. You know, we've seen it in our own country through Title IX. If you, you know, give these girls an opportunity to participate in sports as an adolescent, especially at a time when, you know, adolescence is very difficult for girls, you know, you change the way that they see themselves. And, you know, all of a sudden they say, oh, I could see myself climbing Mount Everest. So my role is to really take all of Wasfia's amazing energy and the experience that she's had and try to help her really narrow into an action plan that she'll take back to Bangladesh and change the world. Mm-hmm. You know, I should mention that the girls that Wasfia is talking about are girls that are born into the sex trade, and they have no way out, really. And Wasfia worked for many years to help those girls get national ID cards so that they could attend school, so that they could go to hospitals. But, you know, when we say marginalized adolescents, I think it's hard for us to comprehend what that really means in a country like Bangladesh. And Wasfia is a bright light that we have no doubt will go back and make a real difference.
One of the requirements in being able to get this mentorship is to identify a challenge facing women in your home country and then come up with an action plan. So the women and young girls that Donna is talking about, is that part of your action plan and part of your idea of what you're going to get out of this mentorship program and then go work towards in Bangladesh?
Yeah, I think there are a total 16 women who came through this program, and I already, out of the 16, I was an exception because I already had a foundation established. So, yeah, I was working with these women I had a career of 10 years before I jumped onto climbing mountains and doing this campaign. And the idea was, the campaign was part, the starting of the foundation that I helped establish at home. And the campaign was to generate the awareness for the work that was needed to be done with the foundation.
So what is it that you hope to get out of working with Donna Carpenter?
To be honest, like, till I came here, I was just following my heart and doing everything in a very unplanned way, so to say, just following my heart. And Donna has really helped me, not just Donna, like everyone at Burton. They've really helped me narrow down and focus on getting things done more strategically, on a strategic manner, and, you know, to ensure quality for my foundation's work in the upcoming years.
Donna, you've worked on the financial side of Burton Snowboards for a long time. That's been part of your role in the company from the beginning. So how do you address issues like a business plan or a real course of action that leads to a stable and sustainable organization like Wasfia's?
You know, I think Wasfia's challenge right now is how she leverages these climbs. You know, she has gone from sort of herself being somewhat on the margin of society to being a national hero. And especially she has one more climb, and I think after that there will be a lot of attention. So, you know, our focus with her, you know, we have a very strong digital marketing and social media, and, you know, we promote team riders and things like that. So we really worked with her on two things. One was promoting herself and leveraging this. How does she turn this in? Because you can tell she's very modest and humble. But this is going to, she's going to have to almost become a brand in Bangladesh. So we focused her on that. And then we do have a nonprofit called the Chill Foundation based here in Burlington with Burton that has helped her specifically with fundraising, you know, how to go out and which she's done. Again, you know, Wasfia did come with us to us with some considerable experience.
So when you're doing those kinds of things, are you just sitting down and looking at spreadsheets? Are you showing her, here's how we do this? You know, are you actually opening up sort of the inside of Burton as a way to help her understand, you know, how to apply that to her organization?
You know, we have a Burton Girls website, you know, where we're really targeting sort of 20, 30-year-old girls. And Wasfia is going to be a guest blogger on it. But, you know, we also kind of showed her how we approached that, or how the Chill Foundation has approached sponsors versus individual donations. I think Wasfia has an opportunity because all eyes on Bangladesh from the West. I think that there's a lot of Western companies have really not done a good job of how they're doing business in Bangladesh. And as a result, we've seen some of the consequences. So I think, you know, this might be an opportunity for her to talk to factories, you know, there, factory owners. And we can help her make those connections because we do have production as well as sales offices all around the world. So part of it is helping her make those. It's 3 weeks is very short. So a lot of it is like she said, helping her really come up with a strategy that she can implement, that it doesn't feel overwhelming, and then just continue to help her network and make connections.
Where do the two of you connect? I mean, you've both now worked on issues that affect women in your organizations, but also thinking globally, but you're working on different issues. So when you sit down and talk to one another, where do you find common ground on women's issues?
I think it's different, but it's also similar in the fact that we want women to rule the world, pretty much to sum it up. And I just wanted to add to what Donna just said, that I've also been very blessed to shadow her in her personal life, outside work as well. We've been doing yoga with her private tutor, you know, and then going hiking and spending a lot of that time where she's not necessarily in the president of Burton mode. And and I've learned a lot.
You know, we still are the primary caregivers in this society. And until that changes, we will have more responsibility that's harder to, you know, to manage. And I think I've learned the hard way that if I'm not taking care of myself mentally, physically, spiritually, I can't be of use to other people. I can't be of use to my family, and I can't be of use of my team with my team at work. So I, you know, part of taking Wasfia to yoga and hiking with her was to show that, and I think one way that we connect is that's how we both take care of ourselves is in the mountains. Like that's where we find our physical exercise and our mental serenity, and our spirituality is in the mountains, you know. So I think we have to take care of ourselves, and there's still this crazy sense of guilt that women have around taking care of themselves. They'll put everybody first. And we all reach that point where we go, uh-oh, I didn't put, you know, I put everybody first, and now my body is, you know, telling me I'm sick in bed for a week. So we've all had that. And I think it's, and the more responsibility you get in life and or at work or at home or whatever, you know, the more responsible you are for taking care of yourself.
What happens now, Wasfia? Is this it for you, end of Vermont, or do you have some deeper connection?
You know, with communication the way it is, we will be able to stay in touch. And I know everybody at Burton will be anxious for updates from Wasfia.
And Wasfia, what about you?
This past week, that from Monday onwards, like people were walking in the hallway and they were like, oh my God, this is your last week. Like everyone's so sad and everyone leaves the gifts on my desk. And it's been so sweet. And I've been hanging out after work as well. So definitely Burton has given me a reason to come back to Vermont, a state that I had not visited before.
So. And to try snowboarding, which you've never done.
Yeah. Hopefully next year.
Well, I appreciate both of you taking the time to come in and talk a little bit about the issues that you're working on and how a mentorship like this can help both of you learn more about the issues that affect women and girls around the world and sports, outdoor sports, action sports. Thank you both very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Having us.